We do a talk show. You know, the podcast that you're listening to right now. And from time to time, we, and by we, I mostly mean me, put our foot in our mouths because we're passionate about things. And when we see something go wrong, we speak out.
Most folks understand our motivation, but there's some who really get their panties in a bunch because we didn't come correct or we said something they didn't like. So what happens when you find yourself in the middle of an internet flame war?
Today, we take a look at how we've handled online trolls, astroturfers, or just regular bullies who don't like what we have to say and make it their number one priority to put a stop to our creative efforts.
Listen as we chat about how to blast astroturfers, squash trolls, and put an end to the haters.
Plus, are rompers for men making a comeback? Wait a second, were they ever in?
Trolling business Twitter accounts for fun.
And free at last! Chelsea Manning is out of jail, enjoying shoestrings and pizza. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Da-da-da-da-da! It's haters at the gym.
Haters online.
Haters online. Haters in the real world. Haters everywhere. But, you know, haters, as what is it Taylor Swift says?
Haters gonna hate.
The player's gonna play. And the haters gonna hate, but you just shake it off, honey.
Or you squash them, or you block them, or do whatever it is you can.
Block, ban, delete, and see ya. Have a nice life. Thank you for listening. I'm Fausto Fernos. Bye, everyone.
Well, sometimes you have to talk it out, though.
So there's this personal trainer who, at the gym that I work out at, and he makes his workouts for his clients unnecessarily complex because I think he's trying to keep them as customers.
Okay.
Right?
So he makes it complicated so that I can't do this without him is what it is.
Yes, exactly. So he brings, I'm not kidding you, to a bench press, right? Do you guys know what a bench press is? Is when you know, in peanuts and, you know,
it's what you do like a, you know,
remember when Charlie Brown was lifting weights and Lucy went, you're just lifting some angel food cakes on the side of a stick.
When you see that picture of Marilyn Monroe that says like, if you don't love me at my weakest, then you won't love me at my strongest. And she's lifting weights. That's what she's doing.
That's a bench press.
Yeah.
So this guy puts four sets of dumbbells, three sets of rubber bands, a jump rope, one of those yoga foam bricks, a foam pad, a medicine ball, one of those lacrosse balls.
Okay.
It's like romper room. It's like a Captain Kangaroo when he opened, I don't know if you got, this is an old reference. He opened up the cupboard and all the ping pong balls coming out.
I think
out,
some you know? People will recognize that from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
So, yes, correct.
All the ping pong balls come down.
The ping pong balls. So he has this thing, and it's just like a whole fucking mess. And I turned to them, and I said, when are you guys going to be done? And he's like, oh, you could just work in. And I'm like, I can't work in. You purposely literally brought everything but the kitchen sink in there. And if you wanted to be a good personal trainer, you would teach your clients how to share equipment and how to pick up after themselves. You slob.
And so then you complained to management.
Well, I was just like, doo. And so, you know, I'm friends with the people that work there, and they were like, you should just fill out one of those customer surveys forms. And I was like, do those really work? And they're like, oh yeah. And because they've had some trainers who haven't been picking up after their stuff, and they were trying to get down to the bottom of it, who was the culprit.
Oh.
So I just said to him, listen, I'm not trying to get you fired. I'm just trying to give you some feedback.
Because he confronted you.
Well, so let me just finish this part. So I was like, I wrote this on this piece of paper. I was like, all I just want this guy is to teach his customer how to share.
Yeah.
Sharing.
And don't take up unnecessary space.
You know, as kids, we were taught, take only pictures, leave behind only your footprints, and keep the happy memories that you've experienced. And this guy is literally like leaving Cheeto bags and empty cups and just crap all over the place, you know? And so I guess he got into trouble. So today he runs up to me and he says, I just want to apologize because we got off on the wrong foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there and I'm like, okay, say what you got to say, you know? So I'm listening to him. And then I just said, okay, let me respond. And I said, when someone says they apologize without acknowledging they did anything wrong, and are unwilling to change their behavior, it's not an apology. It's you trying to change me and my thoughts on your bad behavior, and it's not about you looking into yourself and trying to make a change. And you're doing your customer a disservice by not teaching them how to share the world with other people. Mm-hmm. You're teaching them to be selfish, and you're teaching them that in order to get what they want, they have to hog it. And it's a terrible lesson to teach anybody in any frame of life. And he's like, I'm just trying to apologize. And I'm like, you're not really apologizing. What would you let me know what exactly that you think
is going to change your behavior?
Well, he wouldn't even admit that he did anything wrong. So I'm like, that's not technically an apology.
No, it's not an apology.
And I was just like, and part of me is like, you know, there's with Trump and all this negativity, and you know, I don't know if you guys have been following all this conflict that's been happening on the RuPaul's Drag Race subreddit. I just want to bring some peace into the world.
How are you going to do that?
And maybe what I thought would be constructive, because I know that a lot of you guys who listen to the podcast, you have your own podcasts, you have your own blogs, you run your own forums.
You do your things.
You do your own thing in building community. And when you're successful, when you have problems worth having, some bitch, some nasty creep is going to come after your gig and start up shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's happening over at the RuPaul's Drag Race subreddit?
So it's a pretty complicated thing, and I've observed the behavior. You know, I'm trying to simplify this in a nutshell, and this is my opinion, is that the moderators, and most specifically the moderators that we interviewed on the show, Bruce, made some mistakes because he's juggling a full-time job and trying to moderate a forum that's very busy.
Because right now it's high drag season. Everybody's commenting on there. They're all posting things. They all want to know because they're all, you know, they're in love with this TV show. They have to know the ins and the outs. They want to see every animated GIF. They want every spoiler. They want everything. This show is so dissected, and the minutiae that people focus on and the things that they can pick out is just incredible, because what you have here is like you have an internet hive mind, and so it just encompasses this entire television show and gets everything. You know, people always think, oh, you guys know everything about RuPaul's Drag Race, you know, and I'm just like, I don't know
1%
of what these kids on Reddit know.
And part of it is, you know, it's people who watch a lot of television, and people who watch a lot of television don't have the best social skills. And I make mistakes. People who moderate forums, people who create content, are making things. And just like other human beings, we all make mistakes. But I'm always going to be on the side of people who make things.
The pioneers, the people who started it, the ones that have nurtured it for years, they're asking for the guys to step down.
I'm on the team of the dreamers. What is it? The La La Land?
I don't know.
The dreamers, you know, I'm here for the doers, the people who make things happen. And when something's successful, and we've experienced this many times through the 13 years of doing this podcast, people come after your shit, and they come with this kind of tone. And you have a friend that kind of does this, right? It's this false sincerity.
Oh yeah, it's total false sincerity, and it just comes off as very condescending. They're like, "Oh, I didn't realize you were using this pen. Oh, do you mind if I use it for the next 3 years?"
You know, you're not looking so well. Maybe you should consider taking a vacation and let me be in charge of the, you know.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
They sound like Emperor Palpatine.
Or Nellie Olson.
Or Nellie Olson, right? It's like, I'm afraid the deflector shield will be quite operational when your friends arrive. And you're like, most of the times it's easy to spot a troll or somebody who's like faking.
Not always.
Not always, right?
The astroturfers, right?
They're astroturfers. There are people who are wanting, and this might be actually part of your community. Might be actually people who have been participating as audience members, as people part of your forum for a long time. And they all of a sudden they said, you know what? I want that. You got that thing over there. I want that too.
So that's what. You're saying that's their motivation. But what are their claims? What's the big dispute happening?
So the dispute is complicated, and part of it, I think, in my perspective, is that because all the people are volunteering their time and they're not making any money. And essentially, any kind of forum that is surrounds a television show is free marketing for that TV show. And really, the people who produce that TV show should collaborate with the people who run these forums and say, hey, we'll give you some merchandise that you can auction off, or we can grant you some favors because we love what you do and we want to encourage it to happen. But of course, RuPaul's Drag Race is produced by World of Wonder. And, you know, as you've heard many people complaining, World of Wonder sometimes isn't aware of the needs of their own community, is a polite way of saying it. You know, they can be assholes. And so so this RuPaul's Drag Race subreddit is being run by people who are sincerely, we've met them, we've interviewed them here on the show, as people who are sincerely and honestly and transparently trying to do the right thing. So they had a fundraiser, they sold these t-shirts so they could have a booth so the moderators could go to DragCon and interact and socialize with the drag queens, because I think people who make things, the drag queens of the show, are apprehensive because that community sometimes can be very hostile to people who make things and criticize them without actually providing any kind of constructive feedback.
There's a love-hate relationship between the girls from RuPaul's Drag Race and the people on Reddit. They're part of it is they love it because they're like, oh my God, all these people are talking about me. But then they're also like, I don't like a lot of things these people are saying. And some of the memes that come out of there are really hysterical, but they might not, you know, sometimes those things hit a little too close to home. But I think most of the girls probably have, you know, enjoy like at least lurking on it and seeing what's being done and what's being said about them. And certain others, they absolutely thrive on it and are like, you know, and participate in it.
And so, you know, they're in dire need of having more moderators. And so the forum leaders went to this conference and they met with some people and they were networking. And I'm sure they met this really guy who's, I guess he's a porn star. He has a triple X in his Twitter handle.
I assume if you have a triple X on your Twitter handle, it means you do porn, right?
And or a sex worker or all the above, you know. And so he involved him as, and made him a moderator, and they called him a brand ambassador. Warning, trigger alert, the word brand is dead.
Oh, is that why Kimchi was all about like tweeting, Kimchi the drag queen was tweeting your brand this, your brand that, your brand
And the goal
sucks.
Of this individual was to reach out to drag queens and say, hey, you know, we'd like for you to come do and ask me anything. We like to do an interview the way you do with Feast of Fun, right? And these drag queens are like, this guy seems a little, has a couple, you know, screws loose. And if you look back at his tweets, he has the N word in there. And I'm like, I don't know if he's referencing a song. I don't know too much about this guy. I don't know if he's even a person of color or whatever, you know, it's like, and I give them all a benefit of the doubt because they're people who are making things, and people who make things make mistakes.
Right.
And dear listeners and people who participate in forums, including myself, we're in a really magical age where we get to participate and get entertained for free. We don't really get that many ads. Like on Reddit, there's not an ad there, you know. And people willingly and freely share content on the internet, on YouTube, on Twitter, and social media. And all we ask is that you be a little flexible and be a little kind.
Well, so because you posted a comment on there and people have been responding to it.
And I said they were rude.
They were being rude. And so the main complaint is what? That he appointed somebody as a moderator who they don't feel is qualified, and he's not fulfilling his job as a moderator correctly.
And they got rid of him quickly. Like they made amends for that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But it was the enough kindle to start a fire, to start a flame war, basically asking the moderators and mostly the brush guy to resign and hand it over kindly to Emperor Palpatine. I'm afraid that I am going to do a much better job at moderating these forums, right?
And this is how forums die. applause.
With a thunderous applause.
Saying?
And these individuals who are asking to take over the job already have their own drag race forums.
Oh.
But nobody visits them because they're shitheads, because they don't understand the needs of people, of fans, and they don't know how to build community because they have
destroyers.
No empathies. They're just people who are really good at tearing shit apart. And maybe, you know what? That community also has some legitimate concerns, and they're being addressed, maybe not as quickly. But again, these guys aren't making any money, and they're acting like they're swimming in money because they had a fundraiser. They sold some T-shirts so they could go to L.A.
Well, they feel so that's the violation of the terms of service of using Reddit. You're not supposed to monetize from it. But part of me,
but Reddit does not have those terms of service. It has Reddit etiquette. Mm-hmm. It has some guidelines. One thing that'll get you banned off of Reddit. Mm-hmm. is trolling, astroturfing, doxing, putting personal information, which some of these individuals in these forums have done, and they haven't been banned.
Well, so these people feel betrayed because they're like, these people went and used their position as moderators to get special favors from the drag queens of Drag Race by attending special parties and being able to actually go there.
Yeah, and with our goal is, the goal is to include them, to bring them closer into the fold, to invite them to participate in the community.
Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is, you know, I don't know about this past year, but the year before, the actual people from Reddit, like the big organization Reddit was there.
The corporate was giving there,
and Bruce was invited to come along with them, because I think they recognized what a big community this RuPaul's Drag Race subreddit is. So they were there giving out their shitty little plastic Reddit dolls, and so I don't know if they pulled out this year and like they didn't bring them, and that's why they decided to just kind of go on their own. But again, it's like, this is a, you know, it's an online community, it's a forum, and they're just trying to do some things in the real life, which I don't think is unreasonable, and I think that having your moderators there is a good thing.
And even if your moderators are making mistakes, let them make those mistakes. They're the ones who have been for 8 years now, I guess, working tirelessly for free behind the scenes to make that forum exist, to help it grow. There's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes. It's not you just wake up, turn on the computer, and the internet's working.
Yeah.
And part of me is like, you know, these are problems worth having because you've reached some success. And when we've faced these issues in the past, I actually turned to Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, the internet media tycoon who's like swimming in money. He's like now the host of a reality TV show called Planet of the Apps.
Okay.
So it's kind of like Shark Tank, but for app developers.
Okay.
And it's available on Apple Music. And Gary Vaynerchuk said to me, I was talking to him about internet trolls in the beginning of the internet. This conversation took place in 2006. And he said, all you have to think about these people is to thank them, to write them a love letter. That's why I want to call it a love letter to the haters. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to talk about me. And because, you know, the idea is that, you know, not all bad publicity is bad. Mm-hmm. It's not all that bad, Brad. Sometimes getting people to talk about you can actually get people curious about you. And identifying the problem is asking yourself, as RuPaul says, do these people pay my bills? If not, I'm going to pay them no mind. And I think,
in other words, poor people don't matter.
Well, I think people who are enjoying your stuff for free, to some degree are, you know, not the people who are making it possible.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones who are incidentally enjoying it, but they're not clicking on those ads. They're not, you know, just because your view numbers are high doesn't mean that you have enough money to buy enough food to make your next video or enough, you know, if your camera breaks, can you afford to buy a new camera? Storage on your computer, you know, all these things that you need money for is not going to happen just because you have 1 million views on a video.
Right.
So the people who pay your bills are the ones who make it possible. So you want to have a conversation with those people. And sometimes, you know, we put our foot in our mouth, and sometimes the people who do financially support what we do disagree with us. Mm-hmm. And so my response to them is always like a line and a sure is say, I understand that this issue is really, really important to you. And I assure you that my goal for this is to try to make an entertaining show that brings up these discussions in an intelligent, funny, interesting way. It is not to diminish your perspective, and it's not to belittle at that. And I will take your feedback. Thank you for your feedback. And I will proceed forward with it. But sometimes you just gotta cut a bitch. So I told these people, I took my earrings off, and I just told them, it's like, you're a bunch of rude children. And I said, he's like, the entitlement is high, and you need to say, if you don't like it, start your own forums. Oh, right, you already have. This is why you're starting this fight, is because you're trying to get people away from this forum and starting them on the other one. So these kids are like, feast of failure. I am going to never watch your videos again. I'm like,
because you had an opinion.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, did I even notice that you made a difference? Like, you were just this
random. I don't know you.
I asked Bianca Del Rio on this podcast about those haters on Reddit. She says, why would I care what some kid in a hut in Guatemala has to say about me?
A mud hut. And so you also feel like you keep getting, are you still getting messages? Because you felt
so
like
I posted
you were getting
that
stuff
on Monday morning. Uh-huh. Today is Wednesday evening. And this is how I know it's fakers, because they're still posting and they're saying, give it up, Fausto. I'm like, I haven't participated in this. I said what I had to say, and I'm done.
And you kind of feel as though it's a robot, though, right? Like it's some kind of AstroTurf? Or
I think it's somebody who may, you know, at the very least has an alarm on their phone saying, hey, Fausto, it's time to create a fake account, log on, and post something negative to you. And they're doing it with me. They're doing it with other people who are supporting the moderators.
Do you feel as though that this uprising that's happening on the forum is maybe not just a fan base, but maybe a corporation might have its hand in it? Let's say like something like Viacom.
It could be anybody.
Or the production company who didn't, you know, register the forum for RuPaul's Drag Race.
It could be World of Wonder. It could be Viacom. I would like to think that they would be more intelligent about it. And
but
you know, reach out.
But this might be how they, you know, how they do it, by making it seem as though it's some kind of grassroots effort. Because there's a new study out, and they've unmasked like a state-sponsored social media campaign from China, and it's been responsible for like 500 million social media comments on different things. Because they're really just trying to, and we've seen this with the last election too. It's like these Russian hackers, you know, they just didn't take the buttery emails. They also took the, you know, have gone onto forums in different places and have used the, you know, precision identifications to be able to go into certain forums and really sculpt the nature of conversations and how people think about these things. And they're with bots.
Well, I think, you know, the idea that the robots are writing this stuff is not the best picture. I mean, I'd like to.
But it's like computer programs and there's somebody sitting there and they're being able to like enter into these forums and have different kind of conversations even amongst themselves that people can get locked into. And then, you know, if you read something and if it's persuasive enough, it can literally change your mind about things if you kind of wanted to believe it anyways.
An alarm clock is a computer program. Mm-hmm. You can set up a reminder on your computer. Yeah. Every half an hour, create a new account, post something negative on this forum. And that may be the case. Like, it's not something that's really complicated. And you, if you have five or six people with alarm clocks on their laptops, you could do a lot of damage. And I think in terms of this subreddit, it's something that we've seen. We had forums ourselves, and we shut them down. Part of it is because it just felt like...
Well, somebody broke them,
and we just were like, we were so disheartened by them that I was like, you know, let's not bother bringing them up. And part of it is I just felt like we were spending money and resources to create a space where individuals who didn't have our best interests...
Antagonizing us
and antagonizing the people who supported us. And to me, I was like, I don't like this, you know? And so I have turned to, our Facebook group got taken down and it got brought back up. And so I went online and I wanted to present and to talk about the show, not because I want to give attention to bad behavior, because I wanted to bring up this discussion out into the open for other people who may be running websites or blogs or contents or tweets. Everybody has social media, internet presence. And if you're successful, there's going to be somebody, a third party, who at some point in time is going to try to sabotage you in some way. So this is some guidelines that we've felt works well for us, and we'd like to share them with you. And we also would invite you guys to go to our Feast of Fun Facebook group for the friends of the show and continue this conversation and let us know how you handle astroturfers, trolls, and just bullying on your pages and sites. And the number one thing I'd like to say to people is, ain't no shame. Like I said yesterday, ain't no shame in calling it quits. When somebody is acting like a jerk, because there's this idea that there's this need for transparency.
Right.
Ban, block, and delete. Like, on our... We do this about...
Ban de Soleil, baby, for that Saint-Tropez tan.
Like, on our Facebook... on our YouTube channel, with Cooking with Drag Queens, what would you describe, like, some of the really negative, destructive comments? What are they like?
Most of them are very homophobic, are the ones. And it's like, the weird thing is like, the homophobia does not center on the drag queen. It's usually in regards to us. They accept them because as a drag queen, and so they love the drag queen part. But then they're just like, fag this, fag that, these homos, that kind of stuff. But it's the weird part is like, I mean, they might not like a drag queen and they'll say stuff about the drag queen. And I'll just leave it there. Unless it's hateful. If it's hateful, I'll take it down.
If it's funny, sometimes like it's okay to leave it up. Like, you know, part of it is like, is this comment adding to the conversation?
Right.
Or is this comment trying to basically break us? Mm-hmm. Is it trying to rob us of our time and energy? Because that's what a bully and a troll wants to do, is consume your mind share in trying to fight them back.
And it's a constructive criticism. If it's constructive, of course you keep it there.
Ban, block, and delete, honey. Mm-hmm. And have there ever been a time that you felt like you should have kept something and you deleted it anyways? That you were just like, maybe I'm just being too sensitive.
No, not really. Not that I can think of. Or at least if I gave it a second thought, but not a third thought.
And I think maybe as LGBT people, we're a little bit, you know, we're the middle child of society. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're a little too forgiving of people who have ill will towards us. And so we're a little bit nervous about deleting or banning or blocking somebody. But just know, you know, not every forum, not every community, not every channel is for you.
Yeah.
You know, and find your tribe. And you're actually doing that person, that hater that's attacking you, is actually hurting inside. Yeah. Bullies and bullied people are it's a revolving door. Right. Well, and so the people who harm others are usually the ones who are being harmed. And so by you cutting them off your community, off your site, you're actually helping them move on to find their own tribe so they can heal and they can be actually purposeful, creative, constructive people.
Well, without a doubt, too. And, you know, sometimes people, they troll, they have funny intentions. They want to do things for the fun of it. Like, there's the guy, Barry Owl, and he'll tweet to customer services from certain businesses, and he'll tweet them, like, about their product and stuff like that. And he always is trying to, like make it some kind of gag into just kind of seeing, like, what he can do. Like, he tweeted a coffee company. It was just like, oh, my God, I love your coffee. It was so strong. It really blew my bowels out. Oh, my God, it was everywhere. It was like Marmite explode or Vegemite exploded in the toilet. They're kind of like, oh my. Some people are like, they get it or they don't get it at first, and then they're just kind of like, and then it keeps going on, and they're like, oh wow, this is getting kind of weird. And eventually they'll ban him, or they just kind of like, they just ignore him. And that's the kind of thing you can do. And, you know, I can do that, too. Like, I totally, like, troll people's Facebook pages sometimes and just leave really shitty comments just because that's the mood I'm kind of in, or there's something to do with the post, or I'm just trying to, like, make it kind of interesting, or just, I don't know why I do it sometimes. I just do it. Maybe it's just attention-seeking behavior. But if I ever do that to you, just, you know, if you don't like it, just delete it.
You can delete it. You don't have to ban somebody.
Just, it's my sense of humor, and I think it's just kind of funny, but it might not be funny to you.
There's a user on Facebook called Campbell's Kitchen who masks themselves as Campbell's Soup Company's customer service. And so so all these right wing, you know, I guess Campbell's had a same sex couple with a kid in an ad.
Mm-hmm.
And so some right winger posted on their page, no more soup for me and my family of 13. Homosexuality is an abomination to God. And by supporting them, you are too. Proverbs 17:15. Mm-hmm. And then so Campbell's for help responded, hello, asshole. We at Campbell's Kitchen are saddened that you and your family of 13 will no longer be enjoying our tasty Campbell's soup. We must ask you, though, why are you bringing up homosex? From our best understanding, there appears to be no sexual context in any of our ad campaigns. And he's like, your latest commercial. Our latest commercial consisted of two grown men both pretending to be Darth Vader while feeding soup to a child. There was no sexual content in the video. Too late to play dumb, jerk! We at Campbell's Kitchen are very confused. Are you suggesting that the two men performed sexual acts together and in turn created a child between them? Sir, according to our lead scientists at Campbell's Kitchen, that's biologically impossible. And then, and he's like, God doesn't bless homos with children. Only corrupt governments do. And then they responded, be thankful you live in a government which allows you to have a family of 13. Trying to live life as if you're on the show 19 and counting isn't legal in some other countries. Maybe our government isn't as corrupt as you may think it is. Very nice. Mm. And that's sometimes, you
applause,
know.
Applause.
Not all trolls are evil.
No.
So best thing to do when you're running your thing is good fences make good neighbors. You know, we have a rules. We say you can't attack us. You can't attack the guests. If you have a problem with what we did and said, write to us personally.
Yeah, let us know.
You know,
leave a comment even.
Yeah, you can leave a comment, but it has to be adding to the conversation. Mm-hmm. We need to create a conversation about these things. It's not like, you know, I want you to step down and I want you to, you know, put somebody else in charge.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so sometimes you're dealing with a troll and maybe they have a bit of a valid point, or you're just kind of like, this is weird, or people have reacted to it. And so sometimes you can just kind of diffuse the whole situation by just acknowledging what they say in some kind of way and like just making a bit of a joke about it. Because it's like, you know, humor can salve a lot of different wounds.
Yeah, I think that's, as Americans, that's one of the greatest tools we have and one of the gifts that we have to the world. Is just our ability to laugh at ourselves. Mm-hmm. If you can't laugh at yourself, how the hell are you going to laugh at somebody else?
And if they can't laugh at it, then it's just like, then they just come off looking like they're just absolutely trolls. And then you ban or delete.
What do you think about, some people recommend reveal their sources. I'm against doxing, which doxing means like giving a person's personal information on the internet. But one thing you can do is look at their post history and say, you know, just to give people some context, this individual already has their own drag race forum that they're already trying to promote in this conversation here.
Well, and by unmasking them, so that's the kind of the thing that Facebook kind of thrived on, because they were just like, what's real names, where people are going to use their government issued IDs, and so people are going to be nicer to each other because of this. And there is something to be said about that, but you know, part of the thrill of being on the internet is there's a certain amount of anonymity there. You know, you can hook up with somebody and they don't have to know your Facebook profile or what your real name is or who, or even how old you are.
If you see a really negative thread and you see another brand or product or channel or video or podcast or blog prominently displayed there, chances are it's astroturfing. It's meant to promote that other entity. And it's not necessarily even the brand doing it. It may be, you know, sort of like the original spam was the argument of fans between Star Wars and Star Trek, right? And so it may not, it certainly wasn't Paramount Studios and Lucasfilm inciting these arguments. It was really people who are passionate about these things. I would like to say to the people who listen to our show, if you're ever spamming somebody or trolling, thinking that somehow it benefits us, please don't do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think
I would be embarrassed if some, because you find this a lot of times people will attack us, and I've seen it in certain forums as a way to promote another podcast, and I would just hate somebody to like attack another podcast and as a way to promote Feast of Fun. It just seems like it's just so gross to me.
And if you're a fan of that podcast, or you're a fan of that video, or you know, Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever, just talk about what you like about them. You don't have to like, and I think part of it is that we have this dark side to our minds where we feel we can't just lift something up. We need to crush something else.
Right. Because you can celebrate something without having to destroy something else. It's okay.
What about like moderators? Like, and that's where the Reddit fight has started. Is not having enough moderators or having enough resources. Sometimes, you know,
that's
having too many cooks spoils the broth too.
Too many cooks. That's the thing. It's like when moderation is really, it's subjective, and it's like, you know, there's some people like, my God, you left that post up for 10 minutes. How could you leave that up for? And like other people are like, oh, he just, you know, after a day or two, he'll get to it. No big deal. And it's so that's the thing, is like, how do you really judge it? It's all subjective, and it's up to you on what you value in a moderator.
And you can listen to what people have to say, and, mm-hmm. and sometimes listening is just customer service. Is a person just sometimes had a really bad day. Mm-hmm. They might have had a family member who passed away, and they're hurting, and your site, your situation is the right place for them to unload their grievances.
Oh, yeah.
And just anytime anybody goes after you, even if it's 100 people going after you, think about love letter to the haters. Maybe these individuals, maybe this collective organization of people is not necessarily malicious. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe they're coming from a part of the world that is really oppressive. Maybe they live in oppressive communities or oppressive families. You don't know what they're going through.
And that's part of the thing is that too, is you really just have to kind of listen to them in some ways and try and discern. Because on the blanket, on the surface, it may seem as though it's a hateful troll, but sometimes you can discover if you listen to them or you can try and engage them to some degree that they might have some kind of attribute, something that might say that, hey, there is a legitimate concern here.
What's your opinion about when you see somebody in a form you don't control tarnishing your brand, your company, your product, your project? Like, it, you know, like if you go on some third party forum and they're like saying something mean about you.
My question is, can I get it deleted? Can I contact the moderators and get it taken down?
Maybe the moderators have a policy that we don't delete anything. And one of the consequences of not having that no delete anything policy is that, once again, you're keeping that person, the hater, from being able to move on.
Right. Well, and that's the thing too, is like, and we've recently had an experience like that. There was in a forum, there was it was titled, "How do we," meaning we as the community, "feel about Feast of Fun?" And somebody out there, one of the comments was like, "I don't know what this we is," but, and then they say to my, "This is my opinion." And that's the whole thing with the whole, like, how do we feel about it, is this person already has a negative opinion, otherwise they probably wouldn't be saying anything, and they're trying to influence that discussion and trying to get everybody on their side already, right?
But they had a goal in
mind. Had a goal, and their goal was to make us seem like we're bad people or something. And so the whole
I don't think that was
threat,
their goal.
Their whole goal was to diminish our grandeur, our fame.
It was to
our
promote
glory.
Their podcast.
Yeah, but it was also to diminish, because they were and that's what it devolved into. It was like, oh, but this podcast is better. Oh, I stopped listening to them a long time ago, but I listen to this one now. And believe me, girl, I listen to that podcast, and I can't tell you what level of hell I was in, but I was probably sixth or seventh. I don't know where I was in.
Well, listen, I want to think that everybody,
there's a pot for every kettle.
Yes.
And there's a podcast for every asshole.
There's a podcast for every asshole. And you know, there's not every product is right for you.
That's
not
true.
Every TV show is right for you. You know, it's like, you love the Walking Dead. I find it a boring show, you know?
It's, you know what?
I love Good
it's
Witch.
It's devolved.
And you're not a fan of Good Witch.
You know what? I love that you love Good Witch. And I feel as though I feel you've become a better person since you've started watching Good
Really?
Witch.
Really? Yes. How have I become a better person?
I think you approach situations with more like, how can I help this person and make things better, rather than, you know, fuck them up. So what would the Good Witch say about this whole online trolling stuff?
I think I would like to think that, you know, when you're banning somebody or you're blocking them, you're not removing them from your community. You're setting them free to find the real community that suits them.
Right. It's like when you have a skunk trapped in your house, by you trapping them and letting them loose in the forest, you know, you're banning them from your house. but you're giving them this beautiful woods to walk around in and get attacked by a cougar.
Ultimately, just because we're friends doesn't mean we agree on everything. And when you see two people fighting, you cross the street. Mm-hmm. When you see your family fighting, you try to stop it. And it's painful because, throughout LGBT history, a lot of communities, from the Cockettes to the Michigan Women's Music Festival to the mm-hmm. Radical Fairies in different cities, have fallen apart. And part of that is because the community became successful and matured and grew. And then as people grow, their needs change and not everybody has the same needs anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, with the Cockettes, some of them wanted to stay and be a grassroots theater company, and other people wanted to become pop sensations. And some people were resentful of Sylvester. Mm-hmm. Ooh, you man!
Because he came out of that Cockette scene.
Came out of the Cockette seats. Hibiscus became a very famous, I think he was a model or a fashion photographer in New York City. And they just, it sort of turned the group against itself, you know. And some people say, you know, like ACT UP, some ACT UP chapters. Mm-hmm. These were activist groups that were trying to fight against the AIDS crisis and the government and the public apathy. They turned on each other. Some people said it's because, you know, the FBI or the CIA put in some mm-hmm. agent saboteurs. Right. And agent saboteurs is a political process that's happened throughout time and will continue mm-hmm. happening throughout time because it works. But at the same time, I think, you know, families fight. And it's a painful situation. Sometimes, you know, all good things sometimes eventually come to an end. And the beautiful thing about disbanding a community is that it allows new communities to grow and blossom. Right. And, you know, and maybe I'm saying that I hate to say the idea that RuPaul's Drag Race is starting to run its course, but this might be a sign of the doomsday, end times for RuPaul's Drag Race.
Or maybe and just that forum.
Or maybe that forum, or, you know, I think the move to VH1 has brought a lot of people into the fold, who made people who watch a lot of television, people who don't understand why drag queens dress up in drag. And they went to see the drag queens of comedy, and they were upset that some of the drag queens were making fun of each other. Of their favorite drag queen on TV. Mm-hmm. They were like, why would you say such awful things about my favorite drag queen on television? And it's like, because shade sometimes is about building intimacy. It's about bringing people onto the same level playing field. And when you have somebody who's so successful next in a show with somebody who is moderately mm-hmm. successful, sometimes they need to be knocked down a peg or two in order to bring mm-hmm. harmony and unity sure. to the group.
And there's something about that. I heard that, like, in some African tribe, that, like, if a warrior went out in there and he killed, like, you know, an animal and brought it back, you know, they'd all hail him as a hero, but, like, his friends would all pee on him as a form.
What? And is this true?
That's what I heard. And that's as a bit of a ritual to be like, okay, you may have killed that wild beast, but we're still going to piss on you because you ain't all that.
You know, and I don't know if this is true for other cultures, but in Puerto Rico, when it's your birthday and you're getting older, you know, and it's your day to celebrate you, to give you presents and cake. One of the things they do when they finish singing you happy birthday, they hit you on the head really hard by the number of years. On the head, yeah.
Why on the head?
They just literally beat you up.
Well, that explains a lot about you and your whole family. No, I mean, they do that in the United States. They used to kind of do that where they spank somebody and they spank you and a pinch, and then they pinch you
by the number of years.
Yeah, they hit you and then the pinch to grow for a year to grow on or something. And I think it was like Dear Prudence or something like that. Somebody just recently wrote into her, and this guy goes, I was at a birthday party. And it was my friend's, like kid's birthday party, and they sang happy birthday, and I was just like, hey, you know, it's time for a spanking, that kind of thing. And he said everybody in the party looked at me as like I was some kind of pedophile. And I was just like, that's just what I grew up with, and that's just what we did. And I was
How old was this kid?
I think the kid was, like, you know, like a 10 or something like that. And how
old were you?
This is not me. This is somebody wrote into like Dear Prudence to an advice column. And so he said, and then he was just kind of like, I think he apologized. I don't know if they asked him to leave. And then he also was just like, these people are like, they're not talking to me anymore. And Prudence was like, well, God, it's totally inappropriate for some, you know, for a man to say that at a party. And I was just kind of thinking to myself, I mean, had these people never heard this before? I mean, we grew up with this.
Yeah, when we say in Spanish, te está poniendo viejo.
Yeah.
And part of it is like, when you love somebody and you want to celebrate them,
you got
to
squash them down a little
bit. Tearing them down. You know, it's like those roasts on Comedy Central or the Frank Sinatra roasts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, part of those people loved each other.
Yeah, they loved each other.
You watch, not the Comedy Central roasts, because I feel like a lot of those people, especially
they
the
don't
Trump.
Like them.
Yeah. Well, they're just hired guns, you know?
But
if you look at Frank Sinatra's roasts, that Rat Pack.
Yeah.
They genuinely had an affinity for each other.
And that's why comedy works well. And I was reading something recently, too, is, you know, there was that talk. We've seen Melissa McCarthy do the Sean Spicer, and it's hysterical, you know. And Rosie O'Donnell said that she would love to play Steve Bannon. And, you know, it hasn't happened. And I guess Lorne Michaels had told somebody, he's just like, you know, comedy works best when you have a certain amount of, you know, love or admiration or some kind of affection for the person. But like Rosie probably wouldn't be very good at Steve Bannon because she has had such a long history with Donald Trump, and that it would hard, like, humor has to come from a different place, and Rosie just doesn't have that place right now. I don't know, maybe Rosie could find it, maybe she could do it, maybe Lauren isn't right, but I kind of understand what you mean by that. And that's why the roasts work well when it is somebody that you know and somebody you care about, rather than somebody you detest, because then, like you say, you just want to get up there and be like, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you.
So is that why the roast on Drag Race didn't do well, because they secretly all hated her guts?
Perhaps.
Chelsea Manning, who one of the leakers, I guess she one of the most famous whistleblowers of all time, is out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
She posted on her Twitter, her first photo was her feet, brand new shoes with shoelaces.
Because she probably wasn't allowed to have shoelaces in prison,
correct,
because
she would hang herself. And then the second photo was a slice of pepperoni pizza.
Yay.
Oh, I feel like, you know,
it's been so, I can't believe it. It feels like just yesterday she went to jail.
Sadness and oppression and just corruption in our government and all these, you know, just that subreddit fighting. You know, because I believe in the people who are making that forum happen. And I believe, you know, when that forum worked well, it's such a happy, funny, hilarious place. Mm-hmm. And to see it all just kind of crumbling because of some jerks who were greedy, you know, to me, it's really depressing. And so seeing Chelsea Manning out of jail and, you know, as a woman moving forward, free at last, a free woman. Mm-hmm. Eating her goddamn slice of pizza, it fucking made my day. It really did.
Mm.
It inspired me.
Yeah, I'm very happy that she's out. You know, it's a lot of people are very conflicted about whether what she did was right or what it's wrong. But I think that what we have learned from the things that she did leak really hasn't put anybody at risk. And I think that's very, very important to understand that. Maybe it could have, but it didn't. Unlike, you know, some of the Republicans that were in office that actually got somebody killed because of their leaks. And
didn't Geraldo Rivera like leak a location on the news?
It was one of the Republican. It was I forget exactly how it went, but somebody's person died because of some kind of leak that they did. I think that you know, we have a real good look at how our government operates now, and it has invigorated a lot of activists to really work towards change. And so it'll be interesting to see what kind of public life Chelsea does have at this point in time.
I'm dying to see her do an interview. I asked her, it's like,
you're invited on the podcast, Chelsea. Yeah.
Come see me, girlfriend.
We can do it Skype. We can do it audio FaceTime. We can do it here in person, whatever you like.
So onesies for men, they're calling it rompers.
Well, they're rompers. Romper.
What is a romper?
So a romper is like, I first learned about rompers when I went to Catholic school, and the girls' outfits were called rompers because it was a top that was the same fabric that's also attached to the bottom. And so you know what a jumpsuit is, right? And so a jumpsuit is like something that's all one suit. Like you'd see Elvis wore them. They were very popular in the 60s
Ghostbusters.
And 70s. Ghostbusters. Yes. Yeah, those kinds of things.
By the way, season 2 of Stranger Things is a direct callback to the Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, it is, really?
In the franchise, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, they just finished filming.
Really?
Woohoo!
Ooh, I can't wait. And so, like, everybody's been talking about the romper and, like, showing pictures and stuff like that because there was a Kickstarter recently, the Romp Him, and I guess they wanted to raise, like, $13,000. Well, they ended up raising, like, $136,000. Got Kickstarter. If you hit the right idea at the right time, you can really do it.
Pancakes.
Yeah.
Well, mail a person a pancake, make millions of dollars.
Yeah, and so they're calling it the bro romper or the romp him, and basically it's like a onesie, but it's short sleeves and short pants, and like it's you wear it outside. It's made out of cotton, and you know, this is something if you look at like vintage men's fashions from the '60s or '70s, I think, like this was probably something that would have been in the International Mail catalog, that kind of thing. I think they look pretty good, but I gotta be honest with you, I think that you really have to have a lean build for this to actually look good, because otherwise I don't think it's necessarily gonna look like what you would want it to look like.
Yeah, I'm googling this right now because I don't even know what you're talking about. Oh yeah, you know, wearing rompers or, you know, culottes, unitards, leotards,
yeah,
overalls, you know, you, I mean, I think everybody, the male body is beautiful and variety is a beautiful mm-hmm. thing. And but if you want to sort of fit with those traditional expectations, probably it's not the most flattering fashion choice.
Yeah, because it's there's just something really weird about it. But there's also something about it that's very carefree and is like, what? Oh, it doesn't matter. The other thing, though, too, is like, if you got to take a shit, you got to take it almost all off.
Oh shit, that happened to me. I was in the mid 90s wearing Union Jacks. Mm-hmm. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's like long underwear, the whole body.
Like in those old cartoons, the long underwear would get caught in the breeze and the flap,
yeah,
where you poop, right?
Your flap.
Your butt flap poops. Well, the Union Jacks actually have more, they're more like a shirt, like a collared shirt,
mm-hmm.
Where you poop, it's like a button. And when you're in a hurry, you're like, you basically have to get completely naked to take a shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was walking home one day and I was like wearing this Union Jack. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to make it home. I'm going to crap all over myself. And I'm just like, oh my God, you know, I was getting off the train and I was walking and walking and walking. And I was like, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to make it. And so I got home and I was like, I made it. And I got to the bathroom and I took off my pants and I was wearing the Union Jack and I was like, fuck. And I crapped all over myself.
Oh, did you throw them out after that?
Yeah.
Did you even bother washing them?
No.
You just were like, garbage time.
This fashion is over. So those rompers are going to last until they crap all over themselves.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen. You know, it'll be, it looks like, you know, it's a nice kind of fun summer outfit. But the other thing too is like, they're doing the Kickstarter, so these aren't even produced yet. So it's going to be a while before anybody even wears them, so there's going to be all this hype about them. Now, I know some people that are kind of already wearing them. I think we had, last summer, we had Zach on, and he was wearing one. And I feel like he didn't call it a romper. I think that we felt it was called something else.
So it was shorts and a short-sleeve shirt mm-hmm. all into one piece.
Yes, and kind of like used like an elastic waistband, kind of brought everything together.
But you know what? It'd be a good sewing project. Because probably be easy to sew.
I think so. I think they are pretty easy to sew, and that's kind of part of the reason why they're doing so well. But I think if you get like it's like $100 if you really want one. But
for $100, get yourself a sewing machine and get yourself a pattern and just make it. McCall's girl.
All you do is like you just need simplicity. A jumpsuit and make it shorter.
Simplicity. You know? She.
I want to do a shout out to Pili Hussein in Tanzania, who passed herself off as a man because
for years
to make money as a miner, because she could make more money as a miner, and eventually discovered some Tanzanite or whatever and made a ton of money, and eventually was able to came forward as a woman after she was accused of sexual assault. A woman said that the miners attacked her and that Pili was one of them, and she's like, well, you know, I went to the police and said, I'd like to talk to a female police officer, please. And then none of the guys, like, they didn't believe it, because she's just like, I just, you know, I dressed like a man, I act like a man, I carried this saber. They all thought I was some kind of warrior.
Pili had a machete.
Yeah.
And she was like cussing and spitting and grabbing her nuts or that weren't there, you know. It's like, and she and you know, there was a guy who was a jazz band leader. He was very famous, and he lived his life as a man. He was married. They adopted a bunch of kids, and I guess he was really good at eating out his wife's pussy because he wasn't fucking her. And he died. And they, and in his death, they discovered that he was a woman passing herself off as a man.
Well, is that passing himself
or trans or trans. You know, for that time period?
For that time period, yeah. It's the, your language is a little problematic there, but for the time period is what they would have made that seem like, right?
Yeah, it was. His name was Billy something.
It's happened a lot. There's a lot of people that were
Billy Tipton is the name of.
There's
the
a
artist.
Lot of people that served in the Civil War as men who were identified as female at birth.
Yeah, and so I think the world is full more of people that are, you know, out of necessity or maybe out of interest or genuine trans identity are cross-dressing or passing themselves off as another gender because it suits them.
Oh, yeah. It works for you.
You know?
And why not?
And, you know, and gender someday, is a tool just like anything else. And use it.
You know, and someday in the future, it's like one day, if with the way if you look at Star Trek, it's like on Star Trek, they're like, we're going to this alien planet. Let's look like the alien.
And this planet, they all have nice tits.
So let's all get nice tits. And then they come back and the doctor puts them back. And the next day you can do something else.
That was actually an episode of Deep Space Nine. They turned one of the Ferengi guys into a Ferengi woman.
Quark. Didn't they turn Quark into a woman?
And Quark, of course, started feminism in his planet because it takes a man to inspire women
to do that kind of stuff.
You know, it's kind of stupid. You know, I don't know. I think it's a lot of fun. The idea of living in a future where you can morph and change your body. Now, I'm a you know, as James Mansfield says, I'm a shapeshifter.
Hello, shapeshifter.
And so I post pictures of myself flexing at the gym on my Instagram account,
yes, Fausto
Fernos. And I also post photos of myself in drag just to fuck with people.
Yeah.
And guess which ones get the most likes and upvotes?
Flexing.
Me fulfilling my people's male expectations of my gender. You know, because I'm not a drag queen on television. And so keep that in mind that If a gender nonconforming person is not on television, they still live in a world where it's an uphill battle every single day. And if you really truly love drag queens and you love RuPaul's Drag Race, think twice about, you know, the what is it that they said in the woods, into
the
woods?
Pop the corn and feed the children.
Pop the corn, feed the children, walk the children in nature. The children are listening. What you do and how you behave with other people has a ramification elsewhere.
Word.
Thank you. Thank you. You're for welcome. Listening to today's show. I hope that we gave you something, some food for thought. And you know, and I just want to remind people, the show's called Feast of Fun, not Feast of Responsibility. So have some fun today. Did you do something fun today?
Today, I took Jesse to the beach. So that was kind of fun. And maybe I'll do some fun things after this podcast. We'll see.
I want you, so people who are listening to this today, make something and share it with others. Meditate. Nap, yoga, sit in the park. Think positively. Think about the good things in your life. Put on some good music. And get the fuck out of the house. And go walk children in nature.
But before you do that, if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen.
And where do they do that?
You can do that at feastoffun.com/plus. And maybe you're not the romper kind of guy. You can go to our store, feastoffun.com/store, and get a t-shirt because t-shirts are always in.
Or you can make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. I also want to thank my wonderful, sweet, kind co-host and husband, Mark Felian, whose kind and sympathetic and loving face I have the privilege of sitting across the table many days of during the week taping this podcast.
You are just one of the luckiest people I know.
I am.
How did you get so lucky?
You know, the name Fausto means lucky.
It does.
It does.
It also means fist.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.